Will Dan Niederroth please recall to the stage? Dan Niederroth, give him a round of applause. Hello, Dan.
Hi. It was 20 years ago. I was living in Hawaii with my girlfriend Jeannie, and we were getting ready for the birth of our first child. I really need to start this at the point where she told me the news, because Jeannie had been diagnosed as infertile. She thought she would never be a mother. And so at the beginning, we thought she was really getting sick. And she went to see the doctor. And afterwards, she came by the cafe where I was working. And I asked her if everything was all right. And she said yes. And then she held out her cupped hands and slowly opened them up to reveal a tiny little plastic fetus that she had taken from a display in the doctor's office. She said, "This is growing inside me." That was my now or never moment. At the time, I was a young man prone to grabbing my backpack and just leaving town if things started to get too weird in a relationship, but I was committed to this woman and now this child of ours. So we spent the remaining months preparing to be parents. We turned the spare room into a nursery. We went to the childbirthing classes and learned how to breathe. We bought the books and read them. She bought a bunch of baby clothes and tie-dyed them all. The funny thing was, this was all still kind of abstract. I knew in my head that this wonderful life was growing inside her, but all it really felt like was my girlfriend was gaining weight and getting steadily crankier. The moment of truth arrived, and I'm woken up in the middle of the night to her on the phone to the hospital, and she's telling the doctor that her water broke, and I'm thinking, water broke. I learned this. Oh, crap. I jump out of bed, and I instantly become stereotype father-to-be, and I'm hopping across the bedroom with one leg in my pants, and I'm telling her over and over, "It's okay, it's okay. Everything will be all right." She was exceedingly calm. She was fine. I get her in the car and we speed to the hospital. I deliberately drove way over the speed limit because I really wanted a traffic cop to pull us over so I could say, "My wife's having a baby," and he'd give us an escort to the hospital like in the movies. But of course, you know, there's never a cop around when you need one, so we made it there in record time. We got her checked in and we settled into the birthing room. This is a really cool space. It's basically a really comfy bedroom they set up in the hospital. It's all warm colors and soft fabrics and dim lights. There's no stainless steel to be seen. Well, I was under the impression that once labor started, the baby would be forthcoming, but this was not to be. And the nurse comes in and she times her contractions and checks her dilation and tells us to just relax. It's going to be quite a while before anything really happens. So, you know, the hours passed and the morning came and I started getting really hungry. Jeannie's nodding off in between contractions, and I lean over and I ask her, "Honey, do you mind if I pop out and get a quick breakfast?" She kind of opens her eyes and gives me this look, and then says, "Well, okay, but hurry back." So I run out of there, and I jump in my car, and I head out to find somewhere open this time in the morning, and there's a hitchhiker by the side of the road, and I pick him up, and he tells me he's going to a pancake breakfast at a church in Kona, which is about 10 miles up the road. I tell him, "Perfect, I'm looking for a place to eat." So we take off, and we get there, and we get our food, and we find a place to sit, and making conversation, the hitchhiker, he says, "So what brings you out on this fine Sunday morning?" And I say, "Well, my girlfriend's at the hospital, and she's in labor with our baby." He looks at me, and he says, "Well, what the hell are you doing eating pancakes? You gotta be with your woman." And all of a sudden, it just hits me like a slap in the face. I realize that I'm terrified out of my mind, and this is my way of kind of running away from the inevitable, even while the inevitable's going on. So I hightail it back to the hospital, and thankfully, Jeannie hadn't given birth yet. Her two best girlfriends had shown up for moral support, and they both kind of glare at me as I walk in. I'll spare you the details of the next 25 hours of labor. Suffice to say, everything went pretty much according to plan. And at the end of this, out comes this baby. And the nurse gives me a scissors, and I cut his umbilical cord, and she places in my arms this tiny, perfect little baby boy. And he's not even crying. He's just sort of blinking at this bright world he's been thrown into outside his mom. And as I hold him, he looks up right into my eyes as if to say, "Hey, Dad." And I just lost it. And here I am, this total screw-up, and somehow I just managed to do this wonderful, right, and perfect thing. We called him our miracle baby. That miracle baby is turning 20 this month. Logan, thank you. Logan and his little brother, they're absolutely the most cool dudes I have ever met in my life. And I'm grateful every single day that I chose now over never. Thanks.
Thank you, Dan. Unpronounceable last name, man.